So now that you've surrendered all to God, feel better?
Yes.
You feel better?
Yes.
Now that's the Spirit. That's the Spirit. When we know and believe and trust God for everything and all things, and we surrender our will to God. You still with me on that one?
Yes.
Surrendering your will. Not my will, but God's be done, right? We pray that prayer this morning. So that means there are going to be great results because of that, right? That means we're going to do godly things, right? Of course. Awesome. Isn't that great to know? We can change the world by showing people more of who God is. God is love. So if we show one another love, we're showing people God. And that's doing God's will, because God's will is that everybody be loved equally. And that also we show that love by our actions. Because love without actions is not love at all, is it? It's words. So we're going to practice what I preach, right? Very good. All right. Good. You're paying attention. How's that going to happen? I know there's a process for that. See, I believe and know there is a process. Because each and every one of us first must die to ourselves. We have to go. Our will, right? Our way, our desires, our whatever's have to go. Our humanness has to go. We have a heckler in the front here, so God's going to have to touch that person. So if you want to do God's will, that means you have to be like God and you have to let God work in you, right? It can't be your humanness. Of our human nature, we just can't love the way God does. We're so conditional, aren't we? So we have to learn unconditional love, which is what Jesus taught. So how does that happen? I believe it's a process, and I believe it comes from the scriptures, of course. God spoke of it. Jesus spoke of it when he spoke to one of the religious leaders in John chapter 3. This is a story where one of the Jewish religious leaders, a Pharisee, someone who had been following religion and rules and regulations and finding people doing things wrong so they could be corrected and punished. Not exactly the kind of God I want to have, right? Is that God's way? God disciplines to help us do more and better, right? To correct us for good. But God doesn't do what the Pharisees would do by pointing out people's faults and flaws. They were finger pointers. They were fault finders. We as Christians, we're good finders, right? We're looking for the good in each other, right? We're looking for good in everyone and everything. So anyway, this man, Nicodemus, evidently after seeing Jesus minister to people in the tabernacle, in the synagogue, out in the villages, out on the streets, wherever he was with people, evidently Nicodemus saw something different about Jesus than the religious leaders. See, Jesus wasn't religious in the sense that the Pharisees were. Jesus wasn't a fault finder. He was a problem solver. He was a helper. He was a healer. He was a restorer. He was someone who was bringing God's love to people. And in that so doing, bringing forgiveness, he was allowing people to be healed internally and otherwise and changing people's lives for the better. Jesus was the exemplification of love, perfect example of love, right? And so there obviously was something about this Jesus that Nicodemus, the religious leader, he saw something different in him. Perhaps everything that Nicodemus had learned about Moses' law and how to stone people, Jesus wasn't teaching that anymore. He was teaching something different, mercy and grace, and no casting of stones, which you'll further read in the book of John later. It's awesome. But anyway, that's for your later reading, should you want to go to John 8. Anyway, so after dark one evening, John 3, 1, after dark one evening, a Jewish religious leader named Nicodemus, a Pharisee, came to speak with Jesus. He's got some questions. "Teacher," he said, "we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are proof enough that God is with you." So evidently, Nicodemus could see Jesus, obviously, because of his miracles, because of the outcomes, because of the results, because of the actions Jesus was taking, Nicodemus could see the miracles Jesus performed, obviously, to Nicodemus. This man came from God. And he tells him that. And then Jesus replied, I assure you, unless you are born again, you can never see the kingdom of God. Now, who's he speaking to? Everybody. But particularly Nicodemus, the religious leader. Unless you have a change of mind and you're born again of God, you can't see the kingdom of God, right? Because you're only seeing things from what? An earthly perspective. What do you mean, exclaimed Nicodemus? How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? He didn't get it. How am I supposed to be born again? I mean, I'm an old man. I'm an old person. I've always been this way. I grew up and here I am, an old man. How am I supposed to be born again? I don't get that. So Jesus replies, the truth is, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives new life from heaven. So what is Jesus saying to Nicodemus? Humans produce other humans. And if you want to be a human, which you are, and stay as a human and do human things, that's all fine and good. But if you want to do godly things, which is what the kingdom of God is about, because the kingdom of God is not like the kingdom of this earth, is it? No. God's kingdom is one of love, mercy, grace, caring, compassion, healing, acceptance, tolerance, equality. All those beautiful characteristics are what make up God's kingdom. But unless you're born again of the Spirit of heaven, of godliness, of God himself, you can't do heavenly things, can you? Of course not. That's what Jesus is saying here. I'm just helping him along. So, it says this, only the Holy Spirit gives new life from heaven. So don't be surprised at my statement that you must be born again. Just as you can hear the wind, but can't tell where it comes from or where it's going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. You can hear the wind, you can't see the wind. You can't explain the wind, can you? You can't see God. You can feel God, but you can't always explain God, right? Well, yeah, you can. When you start acting loving, guess who you're showing? God to people, right? But what Jesus is saying here, there's no, you know, Nicodemus wants a practical application. What must I do to be born again? Where do I go for that? Do I head to the tabernacle? Do I go to the temple? Do I hit the synagogue? Do I go down before the altar? What do I do? How do I get born again? What does Jesus answer? The Holy Spirit comes from heaven, and you can't really explain how it happens or when it happens or where it happens. But guess what? When you start to change, guess what happened? The Holy Spirit got a hold of you. So what am I saying in this? We may say to you, you must be born again, and we ask you to come forward, right? Sometimes in an altar, we call it an altar call in a church. And we ask the Holy Spirit to descend upon you and touch you and cause you to be born again. Is that the only way you can be born again? No, very nice. Is there anybody in the room that one day got dissatisfied with their life, the way they were living, the way they were doing things, and how awful maybe things were, and maybe you knew that your way of doing things wasn't quite working, and maybe you got to a point of desperation where you really, really, really wanted to change and be a different person? Anybody here ever do that? And was it in a church service? Necessarily. Now, I'm not saying don't come back to church and get born again. And I'm not saying you don't need baptism from time to time. But what I am saying is this. When you pray the prayer that God, you're asking God in heaven to change you and make you more like God, the Holy Spirit works in changing you. And is it instantaneous? What does it mean to be born again? Well, you're born means what are you now? A little baby. So then you begin to do what? Grow. Grow. That's what we call a spiritual walk. That's what we call spiritual growth. You one day, however you prayed it, however you asked for God to give you more godliness, for you to be a different person, for you to be more loving, for you to be more like Christ, where you want Christ within you more than you want anything else, and you want less of you and more of God, when you pray that prayer, guess what happens? The Holy Spirit. You can't explain how it happened, when it happened. Some of you may remember when it happened, though, right? Something clicks inside, right? Am I saying that right? Something happens where you suddenly feel different. And over time, you want more of God and less of the things of this world. You want to serve God more. You find out that God is moving inside of you, right? To cause you to care about other things than what you used to care about, including yourself. Self kind of takes a back seat. Now, one of the other things we know about babies is this. They need a lot of nurturing, don't they? They need a lot of caring, don't they? Need a lot of feeding, don't they? See, that's why we have churches where we have teachings like this, so that we can help teach you so that you can continue to grow. Because all of you are at different levels in growth, aren't you? The Holy Spirit caused you to be born again, and then before you know it, you start to change and grow. And we continue to feed you and feed you and feed you and burp you and change you. God does. And every once in a while, things get a little messy, right? And God does more cleansing. And you continue to grow and change. How do we know that? Well, in Luke chapter 17, there's another that time when Jesus refers to God's kingdom. Because most of us want to know more about God's kingdom, right? What is God like? How do we have more of God on earth than what we have going on? And in Luke chapter 17, verse 20, another Pharisee has a question. Doesn't say the name. 17, verse 20. One day, the Pharisees asked Jesus, "When will the kingdom of God come?" Everybody asking that question still today? When is the kingdom of God going to come? When is all this hatred and awfulness and violence and separation and hurt and pain and suffering going to end? When is the kingdom of God going to come? Getting worn out asking the question? Isn't it interesting that they asked Jesus that over 2,000 years ago? When is the kingdom of God going to come? For those of us that are impatient, Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God isn't ushered in with visible signs. You won't be able to say, 'Here it is. It's over there. It's down the street. It's on Facebook. It's live feeding.' You won't be able to say that. Watch. For the kingdom of God is among you." And another translation is, "The kingdom of God is within you." So when is the kingdom of God going to come, church? Right here, right now. Who's going to usher in the kingdom of God? We are. Who's going to be love on earth? We are. Who's going to show people mercy and grace and forgiveness and compassion and healing? Who? We are. Because why? The Holy Spirit. Because we've been born again. The Holy Spirit's within us, right? Therefore, the kingdom of God is where? Right in here. I got extra large right in here. Now, I'm not saying that you grow physically as your spiritual growth happens. But when you remember, listen, when you remember that you are the walking temple of God, remember Paul said it? Your body holds the what? Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of God. Jesus came God incarnate, right? He was God in the physical form. He was a man that walked this earth. He is no different than you and me, ultimately, is he? Because he was fully human and fully God. And what did he have within him? the Holy Spirit. He was one with God. What do you have within you? The Holy Spirit. Who's inside of you? God is. So don't be waiting for the kingdom to come to suddenly change our world. We're going to change the world by our love, by our actions, by being like Christ. Because all of us have been born again. Not in the earthly way, not in the human way, but in a godly way. From heaven to earth, within us. The kingdom of God is within us all. Now, if you knew that, what would you do with all that power? Spread it around. Be like jam and jelly. Spread. No peanut butter. See, you know, you can stick on people a lot of kindness, right? Is there enough hate to go around? Too much. Well, wait. There's more love, isn't there? We can outnumber, can't we? When we realize and know that each and every one of us and all of us who proclaim that Christ is within us, not a Pharisee like Nicodemus, who was a fault finder. I know once Christ got a hold of him, what do you think happened? Well, we know because in the end of the book of John, Nicodemus is one of the people that helps bury Jesus. Change of heart. Change of heart. See, even a Pharisee, even a religious leader can be changed. There's hope for me. So, so the thing of it is, we know that there's a couple of processes, right, that's going to cause us to be changed and to help change the world, right? We know that we are born again. We let God through the Holy Spirit, because we ask for it. God comes in. The Spirit moves within us. And then there are results, what we call actions. What do we know the fruit of the Spirit to be? Well, love. Galatians 5:22. Here's how you know where you are on the growth spurt, if you will, of how far along you're growing in Christ and in the Holy Spirit. Because God wants us to grow up, right? And do more and more. In Galatians 5, it tells us this. Verse 22. When the Holy Spirit controls our lives, which means controls our mind, our words, our thoughts, our actions. When the Holy Spirit controls us. Remember that part earlier about you got to get rid of self, right? Once self is gone, the Holy Spirit moves within you. And even though your human self might fight against the Spirit wins. When you allow the Holy Spirit to control you, so are you ready to be controlled for the good of others? Aren't you glad Jesus was controlled by God? Aren't you glad he prayed the prayer, not my will but yours? Right? Of course. So here's what happens when you allow the Holy Spirit to control your life. He will produce this kind of fruit in us, plural. Love, joy, peace, patience. Whoop, I lost a few. I know you're patiently waiting for the sermon to end. So let's go over those again. Love. Peace. Patience. Kindness. Kindness to the one that's making you wait. Goodness. Faithfulness to God, regardless of whatever your circumstances. Gentleness. And self-control. Uh-oh. How you guys doing? The sermon just went downhill fast, didn't it? Let me ask you a question. Was Jesus loving? Peaceful? Patient? Still is with all of us, right? kind? Good? Faithful? Gentle? Had self-control. So if Christ is within you, even in your humanness, that you struggle with some of these things that we mentioned that could become a part of you once you allow, once the Holy Spirit truly controls you, Christ moves more and more in you, guess what happens? You become what? All of those things. So here's what you can do. For any of you that struggle with any of these, like maybe you ought to work on one at a time if that's how you need to do this. You can start with self-control first. We'll do it backwards. Oh, there I go. I lost you again. So maybe we'll just have a prayer for all of you to be born again. Start over from scratch. Are any of these things that show what the fruit of the Spirit is or are, right? We have these things that come out of us as a result of the Spirit moving in us. Are they harmful to anyone? Are they bad for you or me, including self-control? Oh, ooh. All right, I have an appointment open at... I will be loving. Joy. Oh, I forgot joy. Did I leave out joy? Oh, I thought I might have left out joy. You're enjoying the sermon, right? Impatiently waiting for it to end, right? And you're maintaining some self-control of sitting here, right? See, we're practicing what I preach. And you're gently being kind. We want to show more of God to the world, right? In our daily lives, in the interactions of people right here amongst us and those outside of these walls, right? We each must pray daily that we show people these things that Galatians 5:22 are saying we are. Because otherwise we're not showing them the Spirit of God, are we? Who are we showing them? We're like everybody else. There's no difference between any of us that have Christ in us. Now, that's certainly not a true statement, is it? Of course it isn't. So, my challenge to all of you this morning is this. Knowing that the kingdom of God is within you, surrender to God's will, moment by moment. When you need to love unconditionally as God does, when you need joy, when you need peace, when you need kindness, when you need gentleness, when you need faithfulness, when you need self-control, stop and ask the Spirit to help you. See, the one thing we know about the Holy Spirit is this, as Jesus put it in John 16, I'm sending you a helper, someone who will be within you to guide you. So you're not just doing this alone. Just stop and pray from time to time when you feel yourself starting to get a little impatient. Close your eyes and say, Holy Spirit, help me. Help me be more like Jesus Christ. Help me be what you want me to be. Help me show God to these people that need to see God. Help me be like you. It's okay to ask God for help. It is okay. Now, I do believe that you're doing better than you thought. Because in some areas of your life, you have self-control, right? So if you have it in one area, you do that thing by asking God to help you, you can have it in all areas. And when you realize that you have God's kingdom within you, that we're here to say, when is God's kingdom going to come? When I choose, when I decide. When I step up And I show the world God's kingdom by being all the things that Christ was. And the Holy Spirit moves within me to do so. So when you go to post something, for example, on Facebook, this is an example, and you write it out there, look at it. Read it before you hit the little word that says post. Read it. And ask yourself, God, is this what you want me to say to someone out there? Is this kind? Is this gentle? Does this show love, joy, peace? Am I using self-control here? Or am I just responding and reacting to something someone else said? So you can use that little example. That's just one small example of where you can stop and really realize, wait a minute, is this what I want to show God's kingdom to be like? Is that what God's kingdom is like? Ask yourself the question. And if the answer is, yeah, this is a really good one, people can use this. People need this. People need to hear this. Then you go, boop, post. And hopefully we pray that there's like. And maybe some loves. And some shares. Small example, right? The only way people are going to know God's love is through us. Those of us that have been born again. Those of us that have the kingdom of God within us. We're the ones that can take the kingdom of God wherever we go and make a difference. Are you ready to do that this morning? Are you willing to do that tomorrow? The next day, the next day, the next day? It would be okay to mark in your Bible Galatians 5:22 and check yourself out from time to time. Am I showing, you know, am I a full fruit salad? Or am I just like one peach thing? Because we all want to be fruity, right? Fruit salads. I didn't hear that about the nuts. So which half of you are human? No hands, no hands, no hands. See, I'm still human. She's like, I'm still human. I'm not there yet, Pastor. You know that Ivory Soap thing? I'm probably the only one that remembers Ivory Soap is what? 99.9% pure. And it floats. And it floats. Along with your rubber ducky. Yes, I get it. Okay. Oh, that wasn't very... Oh, I didn't use very good self-control right there. But I brought you some joy. 99.9% pure, right? 44. Oh, sorry. Okay, well, it changed. And it's also a smaller bar for about $2 more. I get it, okay. And it floats. Which is not a bad analogy when you think about it. Aren't we here to float through life? When we're pure, when we have more of God in us, and maybe that little teeny percentage of us that's human, we can show more good than not, right? We can change our world, folks. This is big stuff here. You can make a huge difference by each and every one of you recognizing and knowing daily that God is within you and the kingdom of God is everywhere you go, and you bring it where you go. So spread some love. Spread it out there. The world needs more of it, yes? Amen. Let us pray. Most loving God, you are all those beautiful adjectives and then some. You are unconditional love. You are someone, God, who loves us all, even as imperfect as we may sometimes be. And yet you give us the Holy Spirit to move in us, to help us to be different, to grow more like you, God, to realize that we are God on earth. What an enormous, beautiful, wonderful, humbling experience, God, to know that you are within us. We know that all of us have been born again because you and your spirit moved in our lives and inside of our hearts and minds and our souls. You've changed us, God, and you continue to change us day by day. So help us, God, show more of who you are to everyone we know, God. May we truly realize as we wake up every morning, the kingdom of God is within me and within us. And let us, God, bring this kingdom to this earth that is in so need of your love. In Jesus' name, amen.